Hey, Sean, it's Kimberly.
Hey Kimberly, I'm glad you could call in. I know it's like really early in the morning. It's 1:38 I'm looking at in the morning, but I'm glad you were able to call into the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing a lot better right now, I'll tell you that. But you're live on the air on Full Circle Movie Talk. Of course, I'm talking to Kimberly Pilott, who was in The Trade-Off. She played Susan Drum. Kimberly, you're on the line with me, of course, Sean, the director of the project, and Aswad Issa, my cinematographer and producer on the project. I believe you met him while we were shooting, obviously. So he's
Yes.
also on the line.
How's it going?
Yeah, it was a great I had a great time shooting the movie with you. It was
I tell you what, you didn't have a better time than I did, I'll tell you that much for sure. So, but just to give you an idea of what Kimberly looks like, she's a very, very sexy Latina. What are you, like 5'3" or so? 5'4"?
Yeah, I'm 5'3".
Okay. Very, very curvy girl, very curvy, natural breasts that are like, what, are you like a C cup or something like that? No, they're out
Yeah.
there. Yeah, and they're fabulous too, I'll tell you that. I had a first-hand account, I could say, on that whole situation. But yeah, why don't you tell people a little bit about the character you played in the project, if you remember, because this was like a year ago, if you remember much about the character at all.
Yeah, it was the character of the wife, Susan Drum, who was sort of deceiving to you in some sort of I kind of I set you up to that way I can take your position because my husband was the owner of the company. So and then I played the role where what was it where I basically slept with you to try to acquire some information from you. In reference to the work you were doing, because I basically didn't know what I was doing, but I gave my,
I don't mean
I
to cut
set
you
you
off.
up that way I could.
I don't mean to cut you off,
Yeah, I
Kimberly,
guess
but
I in the role I set you up that way so that my husband could hire, could give me your position. Is that what it was?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't want to cut you off, but I just want to let you know if you want to sleep with me for any kind of information, just let me know. There's a lot of stuff I know, so there's a lot of information you can pump out of me, okay? I'd be a
Okay.
very willing participant. So, but yeah, like she said, she's playing Susan Drum, the wife of Daniel Drum, who's my boss in the movie, who's played by Buddy Love in a classic Buddy Love performance that
Yeah,
Aswad just raved about.
from my standpoint, it didn't seem like there was a lot of sleeping going on in that.
Yeah.
I have to say, when I was thinking about Kimberly being on the show tonight, I just had to take about 5 minutes to myself. I won't say what I got into, but after I was done, I just started thinking about that scene we did together, and it was just like, it was as hot as any love scene I think I've ever seen in any movie ever. I mean, it was just from top to bottom, the slow seduction, the striptease, the slow build to that ultimate climax at the end. Even pulling my hamstring didn't sour me on that great moment we
Yeah,
shared together.
it was really exciting for me because I'm a up and coming actress and I was very hungry for to extend my 15 minutes of fame and I really appreciate the opportunity you gave me, and I had a lot of fun with you. You're a handsome guy, so it wasn't all acting,
Hey. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying we could take this wherever it gotta go. You know what I'm saying? That's how I do me. But yeah, so why don't you talk to us about some of the stuff you've been doing since the movie? Have you been staying busy with any other projects or stuff like that?
Well, yeah, basically, I've been going on a few auditions. Right now, I'm looking into a role to play a Cleopatra film. I'm not exactly sure when is the audition. I'm kind of been rehearsing on a monologue for that. And I'm also recording a new demo. I'm a recording artist, singer, rapper. So I'm going to be, you know, searching for a new deal. And I plan to go to school in New York, probably the Film Academy, because I'm also a writer. And hopefully we'll work on something new.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to working with you, you know, again. So it's been pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to working with you on many projects. Just let me know. You got my number. So you're looking to do a bunch of other things. I think you told me you were signed to Def Jam or something like that very early on, like a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I was signed to Def Jam as a rapper a couple years ago. Now I'm looking to either resign or get a new record deal. I'm working on a new demo. I got a few songs recorded, so you know, I'm looking forward to recording some new material. So we'll see how it goes from there.
Okay. So if the listeners wanted to check out your music or just check you out, you know, with some nice stills of you or whatever, do you have a website? Is there a place where people can, you know, take a look at you and take a listen to your music?
Yeah, you could go to www.bettarecords.com/Dolly Catholic. It's my stage name, Dolly Catholic. It's kind of like a good girl gone wild sort of thing. Good girl gone bad sort of thing. So,
you got
cool.
The got bad part down packed. I don't know about the good girl, but hey, you know, you got the important part down packed. So. But it's cool. So you're out there, you're auditioning. It's funny because as you called in, we were just talking about, you know, auditions and our perspective on it as casting directors, because Aswad's a filmmaker as well, even though on the project we worked on, he was just more like my producer. He also, you know, does a lot, equally as amount of casting as I do. And we were talking about that. From your perspective as an actress, like, as far as approaching auditions and stuff like that, do you find yourself, like, canceling a lot, or do you show up to most auditions you say you will? Like what, from your perspective, how is that whole auditioning process for you?
Well, I don't have a lot of experience with going on a lot of auditions. I've been sort of preoccupied trying to figure out what school I'm going to and working. I'm a dancer. So basically, I would say I don't go to a lot of auditions. I kind of pick the auditions I want to go into. And it's not many, but, you know, I found, you know, your opportunity to be quite, you know, a unique opportunity. It was a short role, but it was, you know, you gave me the opportunity to, you know, really demonstrate, you know, my talent. And I just found this to be, you know, it was a great idea. I liked your concept, so I took the time to go to your audition in specific. I'm sort of taking my time with acting because I, you know, I want to get some more training, you know, probably go to school for acting. And I'm just really glad that, you know, you gave me the opportunity to, you know, to show, you know, my natural talent. I'm not trained, but, you know, I am, you know, I'm a singer and a rapper, so it's basically, you know, I have some experience, you know, performing on stage and so forth, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah. I will say this, you do have natural talent, and there's no denying that, so, you know, everyone can, again, this project is, it's somewhat in post-production because we're looking for some music for the movie. I know she just mentioned she's a musician, but she does more like hip-hop and rap type stuff. And for the movie, we're looking for more like R&B type songs and stuff like that. So that's kind of the only thing holding up the movie. But otherwise than that, it's going to be out soon. It's also shot in high def. And believe me, you're going to want to see Kimberly Palat in this movie because Kimberly Palat has got a whole lot going on for her. I'll tell you that. So, Aswad, unless there's any questions you wanna ask Kimberly.
Good. Everything is good.
Okay. Cool. All right, but Kimberly, thank you so much for calling in. I know it's late. You know, I know we kept you up a while to call into the show. But from my perspective, and believe me, from my fans' perspective who are all listening to the show, once they see your pictures and they see who you are and they go to this website, they're going to be very happy as well. I'll say that, okay? So
I loved working with you. It was an opportunity of a lifetime. You know, keep up the good work. Good luck with, you know, your new projects, and don't forget to call me if you ever need another actress. I'd love to work with you again.
Oh, believe me, I'm calling in about 10 minutes once the show is over. Okay? All right, Kimberly.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, bye, thanks.
Bye.
Okay, that was Kimberly Pallad.
That's right.
Oh, God bless her heart.
She came through for that scene, man.
She came through. I will say this, though. I love that scene. I love that scene. As a writer, I was kind of disappointed. But as an actor, as a director, as an editor, as everything else, I was thrilled overall. But the scene came off good. I thought it could have come off a little bit better as far as the dialogue part of the scene goes. The love scene is unbelievably over-the-top, fucking awesome, great, worth the price of the DVD just to see that love scene. The dialogue scene could have come off a little bit better just because I invested so much time in it. I think you had brought me on to Ann Coulter, mm-hmm. and you showed me like a YouTube clip of her or whatever.
Yes, I did.
And then from there, I just started researching her. I started watching a bunch of clips, and I saw this particular interview she did with this British interviewer that was just fucking awesome. And it was just sarcasm, the way he talked to her, and just her whole attitude. And, I just really liked the scene. But, obviously, like she said, she was new to acting. That's the really only part. She's very selective in what she's doing, and it was the first time for her, so... The acting doesn't come off great, but believe me, she more than makes up for it. So,
yeah,
you're kind of the silent, deadly type with this whole situation.
No, it was a great scene. It definitely was.
Thinking about Kimberly's appearance on the show, I started to think of like some great fuck scenes I've seen in movies. And I don't know why I like them so much, because the list is kind of short, you know? I started thinking about this. I thought Monster's Ball was just, whoa. You know, Body of Evidence with Madonna, Fatal Attraction, Basic Instinct. And then the list kind of just dies out to just, like, you know, no-name softcore-type movies. As far as your perspective, what makes you enjoy sex on film so much, and where do you think that comes from, since, like, at least from my perspective, it hasn't been done enough, or it hasn't been exploited enough.
Yeah, I mean, especially now that we kind of, like, make our own projects, I find that we have the best sex scenes that have ever been done in movies. I mean, when I look back at a lot of the stuff that I liked as kids, I don't know if it was so much that they were fuck scenes, or it was just the fact that chicks were naked. And
yeah, movies were huge as a kid.
Yeah, it was like that was the one place where you could definitely see a chick naked.
Yeah,
I mean, when I was a kid, I mean, you know, growing up in Boston, having access to porn was not the easiest thing. I mean, you know, it was very tough. Like, in New York, I mean, you walk down the street and you look in magazine stands, there's naked bitches everywhere. But in Boston, it just wasn't like that. So getting your hands on a porno tape or a Playboy magazine, it wasn't the easiest thing. When cable TV came about, It was the one place we could see naked broads. So I don't know if I was really too looking at, you know, so much looking at the sex, but I was just looking at the naked chicks. As far in movies, I can't really say there's been a lot of fuck scenes now that we actually do them in our projects that I could say were really great. I mean, I thought the one in the beginning of what was that movie called? With Woody Harrelson and Demi Moore. It's late, I'm forgetting everything.
Beneath the Proposal.
I thought in the beginning that one was a little bit sleazy, a little bit more than, you know, than usual. I thought the fuck scene between Glenn Close and Michael Douglas in Fatal Attraction was pretty interesting. He had another one with Demi Moore in Disclosure that I thought was kind of raunchy, although he didn't go through with it, but it just seemed kind of like a raunchy scene. Those are probably the ones that I would say stand out the most. I mean, I could probably think of others, but I think those are probably the ones that stand out the most in my mind. But really with us, I think starting with doing Lust for Vengeance.
It's funny with us because it didn't start with the first movie at all.
No,
it
didn't.
The second. The second was,
that was
great. Wasn't anywhere erotic in any kind of a way.
Yeah. I mean, well, the thing about that is, like, we got our cue from like, you know, They Almost Die, watching, you know, Carlito, you know, pump his hips and thrust her. I mean, that's not something that you don't really see a lot of hip thrust in actual, you know, movies. I mean, it's a lot of rubbing and caressing and kissing. And when I look at the old 70s movies that I used to be so into, like the Emmanuels and stuff, I mean, it's just a lot of rubbing and, you know, kissing and,
it doesn't look realistic in any way.
Yeah, it's not. It's real slow, and I mean, people don't really have sex like that. But at the time, it was okay. But I think they're just aiming to be erotic. They're not aiming to be realistic. But when we did House of the Damned, it just came off as being realistic, and then
Lust for Vengeance.
That was
They Almost Die.
Yeah, I mean, it came off as being a very realistic rape scene. So naturally, when we went into Lust for Vengeance and had consensual sex, we also made that look realistic as well. And it just became a running theme in our movies to have a lot of hip thrust and, you know, a lot of real intense, you know, titty sucking and ass slapping. And we just sort of went that whole route. I mean, there's some other movies here and there that had a little bit of raunchiness. I think Colors, the scene in Colors was a little raunchy when the whore was banging the guy in the bed before he got shot. I mean, but
yeah, I think you would tell me about that scene, and then like I saw it, then I paused it, and I showed you that the G-string that she was wearing. That was pretty.
Yeah, I didn't even notice that back in the day. But yeah, I mean, we thought that was a little bit raunchy. I mean, there were scenes here and there that had something going on, but with us, I mean, we're doing it each and every time. I mean, you know, I look at a scene that like you did with Anna. I don't know if that a scene like that's never been done in a non-pornographic movie. I mean, we're just doing things that only we do. And doing it in the era where probably the most puritanical era of film. I mean, nowadays, seriously, I mean, you know, this, you almost have to go back to like the 1940s to find such an era where movies have become so puritanical. I mean, all that you're seeing now is fantasy and Disney and comic book movies come out. I mean, there's nothing sexual coming out in the movie theaters at all. And I'm just reading an article as well that was stating that, you know, movie companies now are even, you know, even with like regular mainstream stars are losing a lot of money. So they're even more likely to just release kiddie movies than ever. A lot of the stars, like, you know, the Tom Cruise and the Russell Crowe, their movies are coming out. They're not doing that great anymore. The only thing
Nicole Kidman was, like, the worst as far as financial payback for the dollars they give to her.
Yeah.
But they did some analysis where, like, for each dollar she gets and how much the studio makes, it's, like, he's the smallest percentage of any actress in Hollywood or actor,
yeah,
Hollywood, whatever.
I mean, it's just not happening anymore. I mean,
there's a lot of people on that list. Yeah.
In this economy, it's like the one thing that you can bet on is kiddie movies. But movies that have like adults in them, I mean, less and less adults are going to see movies, and that's just the way it is in this economy. And it's just, you know, and in a lot of ways, I mean, you know, people are doing it to themselves, because when you raise movie tickets to like $10, $12 a ticket, I mean, who the fuck wants to pay that kind of money for a movie? I mean, is it really that serious? I mean, I'm already paying for cable, and if I really like a movie, I'm going to buy it on DVD. So what's the point? I mean, people nowadays have these big flat screen televisions and high def and Blu-ray and stuff like that. Like, what's the point of going to the theater if it's going to cost that much money? And when Hollywood keeps talking about they're having record years, this is not really based on taking into consideration inflation. They're not adjusting this for inflation. They're just talking raw numbers. And if you keep pumping up ticket sales, yeah, it's going to look like you're making more money than ever, but are you really? Because I don't think people are going to see movies as much as they used to back in the 70s and the 80s. I mean, back in those days, that was what it was. Nowadays, it's like a movie comes out, you have a reasonable first week, and then the second week is a drop off, and then by the third week, a lot of times they're out of theaters. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of weird. I think that started maybe in the mid-90s, where it's like it was just all about the opening weekend, and then the movie would just like drop drastically after the opening weekend.
Because they don't have to stay in theaters that long. I mean, the real money is on DVD right now.
Yeah, I guess maybe you're right. Maybe that did coincide with it. Because I remember before that, you didn't necessarily have to make a ton. You could get word of mouth and make more your second week than your first.
Yeah.
Now you're making a fraction on the second week.
Yeah. You know? I mean, very, very rare does a movie make more on its second week than its first week. It's very rare. I mean, you almost have to go back to like Titanic to actually see something like that occur. But now it's just all about the first week. Everybody goes out and sees it. It's like a fad. And I mean, if that's the whole trend, by the time a movie's in its third or fourth week, I mean, who really gives a fuck? People are thinking about what's coming out that week. So yeah, I mean, movies definitely, they don't have a lot of shelf life in movie theaters anymore. So once you have that first week, that may be 70 or 80% of what, you're going to make in theaters. And after that, it's just over. I mean, you're already planning your DVD.
Yeah.
So, this is really what's happening. And then, nowadays, theaters, they don't want to fuck with anything that's beyond, I mean, R-rated movies are becoming a thing of the past. I mean, everything now is rated G or PG or PG-13. I mean, you think of like this new movie that came out with your homegirl on Beyonce. This is a movie that's like Fatal Attraction, and it's rated PG-13.
Yeah, I think I told you when you mentioned it to me. I'm like, it looks like it belongs with like a straight to DVD.
Yeah.
It looks like something belongs to theater.
Yeah, just like you were mentioning, like The Rich Man's Wife or something. It looks like something.
Yeah, I think you actually brought that up. But yeah, either way, it was a very good analogy. You know.
Yeah. It doesn't look sexy. It doesn't look erotic.
It doesn't look erotic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're taking an adult topic, which is like, a lady who is obsessed with another woman's wife, and you're just making it a kiddie movie. It's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so?
Hopefully that movie bombs, man. We can only pray.
I'm hoping it does. Well, from what I'm hearing, it may be the number one movie in the country this weekend, but hopefully this is the only weekend it will be in theaters, and next week it will just drop off the map and they'll lose all their masters, so it'll never come out on DVD. That's what I'm hoping. I mean, another movie that can
just making money does no good to nobody, because it just brings on more of these bad movies.
It does, exactly. And this movie, in a way, it also kind of reminds me of some of those J-Lo movies that came out in, like, the late 90s, Made in Manhattan and Enough and Angel Eyes. It just reminds me of some of those J-Lo movies.
She had a run that people are going to look back at and be like, what the fuck were people thinking?
Yeah.
Some of her music and her movies were just so bad. I think a couple of years from now, whenever for whatever reason her name pops back up in the spotlight, people are going to think, what the hell was wrong with people back then that they bought into this J-Lo hype?
Yeah. I mean, the Wedding Planner. I mean, she was going hard for a couple of years there. Like, when are people gonna catch on to this?
And where was the good album or the good movie that really warranted all the hype?
Yeah, I mean, the only movie that I would really watch from her was Selena. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was one of her. That was like her first movie or one of her first movies. I mean, I could watch that one. But that was about it. I thought she did
you're right, that's early on where she had no say, and she couldn't put her influence and her stamp on things.
Yeah.
And it was just more about the producers and other people. She just happened to...
And the music and everything else that was going on. I mean, it was...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, a lot of her movies, I mean, Money Train, you know, she wasn't really the feature star of the movie. I mean, it was somewhat watchable. But
yeah,
after,
that's very early on. That's
very or very early on. She does before the plastic surgery and everything else.
I think she even did nudity in that movie too, as well.
There was a little bit of topless going on.
Yeah.
But I mean, after that, it just went off.
I don't know why you have a girl with an ass like that and no tip, and you decide to show the tip instead of the ass.
That'd
be a great opportunity to show her ass pounding against. You know, Wesley Snipes, if you could see him in the dark.
Has she done any movies recently, though, J-Lo? I mean,
no.
Has she been in anything that's come out?
No.
She
I think a couple of years ago she did some Richard Gere movie where she was a dance instructor.
Dance with Me.
Brad and Richard Gere were the main characters.
Dance with Me.
The funny thing is, she didn't even do a soundtrack. The Pussycat Dolls did it. You know? They did some generic song that she could have sung. That's how far she's sinking. She didn't even get to do a soundtrack in her own movie. So then after that,
I guess she had the baby. And then now I haven't heard anything from her. I mean, I know that she was doing her tour and doing her music and, you know, like, frolicking around with Mark Anthony. But I haven't heard of her actually in Hollywood making movies.
He put her in check, because she was a wild one before she hooked up with him, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt that, like, you know, two Puerto Ricans together, I mean, he's going to know how to deal with her. He's going to know how to handle her. I mean, you know, you let her loose, but I always felt like in my heart that she was going to come back home to La Raza, you know? I mean, she kind of strayed a little bit. She started off with, like, some Cuban guy, which was a little bit different, and then obviously from there, I think it was she got married again at some point, didn't she? After that guy,
she married some waiter or something. Then she went.
That was the first guy. That was the first guy with the waiter. Was there another marriage in that summer? Puffy was after him.
There was a marriage. She married the backup dancer after Puffy.
That's right. It was Puffy. Then it was the backup dancer, and then it was Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
And then I forgot about the backup dancer. Yeah, he's the one that gets lost in the mix.
Yeah, he gets lost in backup.
Well, hey, Britney married a backup dancer too, so the backup dancers had their little run.
Leanne Rimes is still married to a backup dancer.
Really?
Yeah. She married him right around that time too.
I didn't know country singers had backup dancers, but okay.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening with us, and take it easy. We'll talk to you next week.